The closest bonds can hide dark secrets. Nothing could shake their friendship. They've always wanted to be able to count on each other. But when a reunion brings up old grudges, I've been asked questions like, "Were you at a party? Do you know Devin? Do you know Stepan?" Facing the truth can have deadly consequences. He's your best friend, and you can't handle the situation. If I hadn't been there that night, he'd still be here. Hello, police? This is a homicide. Since she's been in college, 21-year-old Allison Cher hasn't had many opportunities to go home. But Thanksgiving break gives her the chance to finally be with her family and friends. For me, being away was a challenge. So I couldn't wait for the week to end so I could go home and spend time with the people I love. I was looking forward to a few days without having to worry about tests or exams, a few days with nothing to do but relax, eat well, and just let my life go. Kenley is only an hour away by Raleigh, but the differences between the two towns are obvious. Kenley is nicknamed Friendly Kenley because everyone waves at you when you drive by. It's a friendly place, a small farming town. Allison lived there. That sums up Kenley. There's a gas station and that's it. Allison and the gas station. Kenley may not have the hustle and bustle of a big city, but it has its own charm. Growing up in the country was great. We were always outside, we didn't have any neighbors nearby. We could run around in the woods. My parents were strawberry farmers. Farm life and being able to play in the woods made for a really enjoyable childhood. Alessin's plans for the weekend included catching up with his old high school friends,
including 23-year-old Stephen Gudd.
Stephen and I had a strong friendship. We'd been in high school together all through high school. We were in the same friend groups. We'd see each other in school and outside of school. Stephen told me that his parents would be out of town and if I stayed and didn't go to college, he'd invite me to this party where some of our friends would be there. Devin Barber is Stepan's best friend. He's also Allison's ex. The last time she saw him was when they broke up 2 years ago. A good amount of time had passed. So I didn't think we'd be too awkward being in the same room together. The bond between Allison and Devin had already run deep. They first met 4 years earlier in the summer of 2006. Allison had gone to the local pool where one of the lifeguards had caught her eye. When I first saw Devin, my eyes lit up. Wow, what a handsome boy. He had long blonde hair, blue eyes, and the perfect tan of a lifeguard. He was gorgeous. As soon as Allison saw him, it was set. She went there every day. She wanted to be near him all the time, this handsome, tanned man sitting in the lifeguard chair. The chips were down.
The attraction between them was immediate. Neither of them seemed to care that Allison was a year older.
Devin's eyes always lit up when he talked about Allison. Allison was captain of the cheerleading squad. She had been homecoming queen. She was adorable. She was the most beautiful. Even today, when I talk to people and I mention Allison, everyone says she was perfect. She was very, very pretty, very attractive. I'm pretty sure all the boys noticed that first, but she was also very intelligent. So, I agreed. I thought that if he were to date a studious girl, he might end up being influenced and be influenced by her too. He fell madly in love the first time they met. It was love at first sight for all of us. I loved her too. She quickly became part of the family. She was so, at first, I was much younger than her, so, I admired her. She was so pretty and intelligent. She had a car, she was so perfect. I thought to myself that I definitely wanted this girl to be a part of my life forever. I hoped that their relationship would last forever, and I always thought that for him, she would be the only love of his life. For Devin, who was 16, this was his first serious relationship. He quickly realized that Allison had much more to offer than her beauty. Allison really made Devin feel like he was someone. He felt understood. She looked out for him in every way. She could diffuse his aggression in the blink of an eye. She was wonderful. He felt that in her eyes, he was the most precious person in the world. They say that you feel like you're the only one in the room when you meet your chosen one. With Allison, that's how Devin felt. Allison also understood that what she was experiencing was more than just teenage love. With him, I was happy. I felt cherished. He made my heart beat faster. I was very happy. It was at the beginning of my senior year of high school that I had an epiphany. I wanted to spend the rest of my life with this person. But after Allison graduated high school, she decided she wanted to go to college, which meant leaving home. Going to college was important to me. Both my parents went to college, my brother went to college. So it was part of my goals. Allison had always dreamed of going to college. She had bigger dreams than the small town we grew up in. She had always dreamed of becoming something big. Devin, on the other hand, had one more year of high school left. Plus, he had no desire to leave the comfort of his hometown of Pine Level. He hated the big city. Allison was at Raleigh. He hated the hustle and bustle, the crowds. He would much rather stay home in our small town. As the months went by, Allison and Devin found it harder and harder to find time to see each other. He couldn't come see me often, and I couldn't come home to see him. I had things to do, school commitments, and exam preparation. It didn't make sense to come home every weekend when studying was important to me and I wanted to do well. We had several conversations about it. Was this working? Should we break up? I knew it was coming. We could tell because Allison would come over all the time. Every weekend, she would be home with Devin, or Devin would be home with her. Then it became less and less frequent. While Allison was in her freshman year of college, she and Devin decided to end their relationship. It's sad to have to break up with someone you love. Yes, I know Devin needed to grow up a little. Maybe she was just waiting for him to get his act together. Two years have passed and their friend Steven is orchestrating their reunion. On my way there, I was a little nervous about seeing him again. But hey, I had promised to go. It was too late to back out. What a lesson doesn't know is that a secret grudge is about to drive one of them to murder.
One of the first to respond is Officer Alan Lee of the Pine Level Police Department. He's in his fifth year on the force and he's never seen anything like it.
There was a body on the ground. He'd been shot. There was a guy on his knees. I didn't know there was a gun, or why, or if I'd be the next target. We had to get the situation under control. So we handcuffed everyone there and separated them into different cars. Handcuffs don't mean you're guilty, just that someone shot. As the paramedics attempt to rescue the victim, the officer makes a shocking discovery. This is Pine Level. I know this guy. You all went to school together and now you have blood on your hands. It's like K who makes you beautiful. In November 2010, Allison Cher is about to see her high school sweetheart, Devin Barber. Their friend Stephen Guok organized the reunion. But the idea of seeing her ex for the first time in 2 years makes Allison nervous. Hello, where is everyone? They're coming.
When I saw Devin again, I was a little uneasy at first. I was nervous about seeing him again. You change over time. My hair color was different. It was normal nervousness under the circumstances, but I was excited too. It was still, I haven't seen you in 2 years. How are you? The atmosphere was a little weird. Devin's appearance had changed a bit. His hair was thinning, he had a few tattoos. He was still himself, but with a difference. It was good to see him again. It took us back to another time when we were together.
Devin seemed to be taking his reunion with serenity, but inside, it was a different story. Devin had taken the breakup very hard. He loved Allison more than anything. He had turned from a very happy person into a sad person. He slept all the time as if he had no reason to get up anymore. Without Allison's emotional support, Devin made the drastic decision to drop out of school a few months before graduation. I was really disappointed. I hope he would change his mind. He had gone to an army recruiter's office. He wanted to enlist. But the military doesn't want you if you don't finish high school, if you don't get your degree. So that plan fell through. What do you do with your life when you drop out of school? He didn't have a very clear idea of his future at the time. Devin began to kill time by hanging out with his friends, drinking and getting into trouble. They were nicknamed the Hyons, the troublemakers. They liked to fight, drink, and insult people. Devin was definitely their leader. Devin was always the leader. He wouldn't have accepted anything else. They engraved the word hell on my dashboard. It was Devin's idea. One time, he really annoyed me. He shook a beer can before opening it to act like a fool. He only did what he wanted. He wanted to challenge me. Stop yelling because I spilled a drop of beer, or you'll get a whole can of beer. That's how Devin was. If you didn't like his style, you had to fight. He had a problem with authority. I would say if you provoked him, he would provoke you right back. If you stared at him too hard, he would immediately rebuff you. He wasn't afraid of anything. His friends liked to say that his signature phrase was, "Do you want to fight?"
On this reunion night, Devin behaves in an exemplary manner. Not that they didn't, but the awkwardness between them was palpable. And Steven's presence only made things worse. Steven sometimes had a knack for making comments that weren't very subtle. Steven's barbs were something they both learned to deal with, especially Devin. The two boys had been inseparable since childhood. Steven and Devin's friendship was the kind that lasted a lifetime. They first met about 10 years ago, at an age when girls were far from their concern.
Steven and Steven met in Pine Level, I think, in the Boy Scouts. Steven started coming over to the house. They were often together. They liked to talk about music and cars. They got along well. Together, they played nicely, quickly becoming friends and inseparable. Devin watched over Steven as if he were his own brother. Nothing in the world could disturb their friendship. They always wanted to be able to count on each other. As a teenager, Devin gained more and more self-confidence, which helped him stand out. Steven was more introverted, staying in the shadows. Devin was very outgoing. He wasn't afraid to speak his mind. I would say he had something of a bad boy about him. But in a charming way, he drove with his music on full blast, all the windows of his Ford Ranger rolled down, whereas my previous boyfriend would have had his windows up and his music at a reasonable level. That kind of detail. Devin was very charming, very spontaneous. One day, he said he would walk all the way to California in his beach sandals, and I have to admit I didn't know if he was serious or not. He loved to clown around, I think. He was always trying to make his class laugh. He really liked to play pranks on his sister, on his friends. He always had a smile on his face. He liked to laugh and have fun. I think Steven liked Devin for the same reasons that everyone else liked Devin. Steven was funny, he was tough, he was strong. Steven was more reserved.
Steven was kind of a locker room guy. He got an award in high school for reading the most books. He wasn't athletic like his brother and sister were.
He was the kind of person whose shell you had to crack open to get him to talk. He was sometimes a little awkward in large groups. He didn't know what to say. He was awkward. A little weird. That struck me right away. When Dev was with other girls, he was a lot of fun, a lot of charm. He could impress anyone. But Steven was awkward and uncomfortable with girls, and he made the others uncomfortable. Yet their friendship never seemed to suffer. Even when Devin and Allison fell in love, Devin was determined not to abandon his friend. We were kind of like the Three Musketeers. We were always together, we did everything together. Dev and Steven were really good friends. They liked to talk about all sorts of things. I would sit close by and listen to them talk. Dev and Allison didn't want Steven to feel like he was in the way. It was always just the three of them, and they made sure he never felt uncomfortable or left out.
But as Allison and Devin's bond grew stronger, something changed.
That Devin was spending time with people other than himself. Steven didn't like that. He didn't necessarily feel angry, but he was becoming distant. Dev and I showed each other affection when it was just the three of us. But Steven was like, "Come on, guys, stop." He didn't have his looks, he didn't have his charm. I could tell Steven felt like he was always in Devin's shadow. Steven felt like he needed to find his own path. He made the bold decision to leave Pine Level and join the army. Steven's father was well respected in town. That's why Steven wanted to join the National Guard. His father had done that and was always involved in the community. Steven wanted to follow in his father's footsteps. People, his parents, were proud of him for wanting to join and serve his country. Steven was lucky enough to be assigned to Raleigh where Allison was attending school. Shortly after, Allison and Devin broke up.
Allison and Steven had been longtime friends and they remained close after Devin and Allison broke up. He and I would go out together a few times. We'd eat out, hang out with friends. Here are the three of them together for the first time in 2 years. Things have changed completely. Steven is now the one with the wind in his sails while Devin is treading water. It's
as if their relationship has changed. It's turned upside down. A few hours later, their past conflicts will catch up with them and one of them will do the irreparable. I've thought about it over and over again, trying to figure out what was going through his mind, why he had a gun on him. It's Thanksgiving weekend in 2010 in Pine Level, North Carolina. Stephen Gudd, 23, has thrown a party for many of his friends. It's the first chance they've seen each other since they graduated from high school. Some of these people I hadn't seen in years. It was nice to be with old friends from my hometown. There was music playing, the TV was on, the atmosphere was good. I didn't know that a lesson would be at Steven's party that night. I'm sure Devin was a little nervous. He still had feelings for her, even though they weren't together anymore. But any nervousness Devin Barber had about seeing his old girlfriend Allison Cher quickly dissipated. Allison fell under his spell just as she had on the first day they started dating. We reminisced and discussed aspects of our relationship. Since we'd gotten a few years older, we thought maybe things would be different if we got back together. Seeing them together rekindled old grudges in their friend Steven. There was probably a bit of jealousy in his attitude. Since we took him away from our company, I could tell he was feeling a bit jealous. Steven always got into that kind of state. He felt uncomfortable and made comments about the fact that they were talking to each other while the ignorant. Devin and Steven often teased each other. They would snipe at each other. Every now and then, he would get angry and keep his distance, but he would quickly get back together and it would be like nothing had happened. This time, things are different. Steven is no longer the shy teenager he once was. In 2009, he served in Iraq, which changed him profoundly. He was there in enemy territory. It was a bad time in Iraq. There was a lot of trouble. We followed what was happening in the area. If something happened, like a bomb, they would try to get in touch with him to make sure everything was okay. We put together a care package for him. Devin wanted to send him things. His mission was over. Steven returned home to Pine Level where he was welcomed as a hero. He was a new man. He had been exercising. He had lost weight. He was muscular. He seemed much more confident when he came back. He felt like he had accomplished something. How about right? I think he was impressed with Steven. He seemed to have taken charge of his life. Yet, no matter how hard Steven worked to stand out, tonight he was back in Devin's shadow. There were a few times when Devin and I were alone. People would gather in the kitchen while he and I would walk away and talk in the living room. Then someone would join us in the living room and we would go out to the Porsche. Throughout the evening, I could tell we were trying to get 5 or 10 minutes to talk alone. Dev always had these moments where he would say, "If I could see Allison again one more time, I would fix everything." We would get back together. I would tell her this or that. Devin had never completely given up on Allison. He didn't want to give up on her, either. He always wanted to try to win her back, to prove to her that he wanted to be with her. Miss you. Miss you too? A few times during the evening, Steven interrupted our conversation, saying, "Why are you alone? You need to stop talking. Everyone needs to come inside. This is my house. We should all be together." I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. If I want to stay outside to talk to a friend, I'll stay outside and talk to my friend. Hey, okay, quote. My parents insisted that as long as I was staying with them, I had to get home before midnight. When I looked at the time, it was 12:51 a.m. I had to get home. He finally told me, "Despite all the time that had passed, I hope you know that I still love you, that I still care about you. I hope you know that I've never stopped loving you." Quote. These were things I had secretly dreamed of hearing. I had waited 2 years for him to tell me them. But this moment of closeness would soon be cut short. Steven may have wanted to protect the lesson, or he may have been a little jealous at what was happening, at the thought of Devin leaving the party to go find Alon. Neither man could control their anger. Resentments that had been pent up for years were about to burst. I didn't lose a friend that day. I lost two. After 2 years of not seeing each other, feelings can fade. But that night, they seemed to be rekindled. As she drove to her ex-boyfriend Devin Barber's house, Allison Cher had every reason to believe he was following close behind. I arrived at my mother's house. I turned off the lights in my car. I waited 10 or 15 minutes. I tried calling him a few times. I sent texts. I didn't get a response, which was worrying. I was with him 15 minutes earlier. "Where are you? Are you okay? Did you have an accident while hanging out here?" Finally, I texted Steven saying everything okay? I didn't get a response from anyone. I had gone way beyond what they agreed to, so I went back to bed. Meanwhile, at the party, the argument between Devin and his best friend Steven had turned violent. Okay. Okay. In the distance, I could hear the whimpering of a dying man. He was trying to breathe, and I could hear this sound in the background, a sort of whistling sound. The paramedics were on the scene, they were taking care of him. So I got out of the truck, I took a look, and I knew this boy. Mr. Barber, I knew Mr. Guak because after all his father was a police commissioner. This is something you don't expect. Stephen was in the back of a police car. He had been handcuffed. He was being held. He was staring into space, perhaps thinking about what had just happened.
Devin, who was still fighting for his life, was taken by ambulance to the hospital. As for Stephen, he was taken to the police station. Less than 3 hours later, Devin's family got a phone call. I remember the phone ringing. I didn't answer in time, they had hung up. I called back, it was the hospital. They just said, you need to come here as soon as possible. I said, why? What's going on? They said, we can't tell you anything. I realized then that it was serious, but not how serious. At 4:30 in the morning, a doctor came into the waiting room. We were sitting there. The doctor leaned over to us. He looked at us and said, tonight, your son, your brother.
He said, I'm sorry, he was shot and he died from his injuries. Mom said, what exactly do you mean? I was in complete shock. I started crying. I couldn't catch my breath. I was terrified. The doctor said, I'm sorry, ma'am, your son is dead. I lost my firstborn, my son, and everything changed. Quote. I thought it was a car accident. I couldn't imagine Devin dying the way he did. It never crossed my mind. I said, what do you mean he was shot? Who shot him? Quote. He said, right now, we think Stephen is the one responsible in this case. It stunned us. Stephen, no, no way, not Stephen, it can't be him. Are you sure it was Stephen? We tried to figure it out, but it didn't make sense.
What could have driven him to do this? That's a question the police are also trying to answer. Stephen asked for a lawyer, which could complicate things to some extent. We always prefer a confession or at least a statement from the suspect. You grew up with this boy. You all went to school together. You had the same friends. He's at your house. You invited him over. And now here you are with blood on your hands. Your friend's blood. It's like someone who killed a bell. But this case is far from over, and the outcome is still the talk of the town.
Everyone was in shock. Everyone. We couldn't believe it. We just couldn't. On the morning of November 27, 2010, news of Devin Barber's death spread throughout Pine Level, North Carolina. Meanwhile, Stephen Gudak was in jail on murder charges. Pine Level is a small town. Murder is like a still being where you throw a rock and a whole series of waves form. That's what happened. Everyone was terrified because everyone knows everyone.
While investigators try to figure out what happened, Allison Cher is at her parents' house in the nearby town of Kenley. She knows nothing about the tragic events of the night before.
The next morning, I woke up around 7 o'clock or 7:30. I checked my phone. I had a voicemail from the state police. They said they wanted to ask me some questions and asked me to call back. They asked me questions like, "Were you at a party last night in Pine Level? Do you know Devin? Do you know Steven?" I asked 20 times if everyone was okay, if something bad had happened. After a series of questions, I was finally told, last night, Steven shot Devin 3 times in the chest. He died. I was speechless. I cried and cried in the fetal position for hours. With Allison unable to explain what happened after she left, the police turned to those who were there. Little by little, a picture began to emerge. Steven seemed genuinely upset because he felt Devin was doing this to Allison. He kept saying that he was making her cry. This was his life, his house, his party, the fact that Devin wasn't inside with him, that he was talking to Allison instead. In Steven's eyes, this wasn't right. Steven started pacing. His demeanor had changed. All he could think about was Devin Barber. Steven then allegedly stirred things up with words that would make Devin jump.
He said, "Devin, you poor guy, you're not going to, you'll never amount to anything in your life. You'll never amount to anything. You're just a drunk, a loser."
He tried to make people believe that he was tough. He was big and strong. He could do anything. He was as big and strong as Devin, and everyone had to believe that they were capable of surpassing the other. According to witnesses, there were threats against him from Mr. Gudak. "I'm going to kill you if you don't leave. I'm going to kill you." It turned into a fight. Steven pushed Devin first. Devin pushed Steven back, then a gun was pulled out and Devin was shot 3 times. At his trial in August 2012, Steven took the stand and admitted to shooting Devin. But he claimed that he had no choice.
He pleaded self-defense. "You went to Iraq, you saw the war with your own eyes. This is supposedly your best friend or one of your best friends. And you are incapable of handling the situation. You have to pull out a gun and shoot him 3 times. That's overkill for self-defense. It also doesn't explain why Steven was armed. I've
thought about this over and over again, trying to figure out what was going through his mind. Why did he have a gun on him?" Steven claims he needed it to protect his dog from coyotes. "There are coyotes around here, yes, but we're also inside city limits. You don't shoot coyotes in the middle of town." Devin's family and friends don't believe Steven's version of events. The motive could only have been jealousy. He couldn't take it anymore. He had to stop it. That's the only explanation that makes sense. It's a senseless act to kill someone, to take someone's life. You have no right to do that.
After a week of hearing evidence, the jury finds Stephen guilty. But because of the fight, he was given a reduced charge of voluntary manslaughter. Stephen Gudak was sentenced to only 7 years in prison.
Everyone was shocked. The courtroom fell silent. Everyone knew we couldn't believe it. We just couldn't believe it. It was like Devin's life had been stolen. Okay. For Allison, the thought of that tragic end will remain a painful memory that he'll carry with him his entire life. If I hadn't been there that night, he'd still be here with us today. On my birthday, I think of him in the summer too. Our love was a summer love. Every time the weather gets hot, it reminds me of all the summers we spent together and our childhood sweethearts. We're left with a huge void, our hearts broken. I'll never understand why. Allison told the court that he wanted a child with him. Maybe he would have gotten back together, gotten married. I don't know. I miss him terribly. I always wonder what it would be like if he was still here. No one wants to have to bury their child. It devastated my family. He was a good boy. He didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve this. My daughter Scarlett knows who her Uncle Devin is. She always will. She sees pictures of him with long hair, short hair, at 11, at 20. She's only 16 months old right now, but she knows exactly who he is.